Every day when you log into ChumbaCasino.com, the ultimate online social casino, you get a free daily bonus. Imagine if you got daily bonuses in other parts of your life.
I chose French fries over loaded French fries.
I asked Stuart from accounting about his weekend, even though I don't care.
I updated my operating system without having to call tech support.
Collect your free daily bonus at ChumbaCasino.com now. And live the Chumba life.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows. All you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask.
Do you want to be a phone sex operator? So do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Talk about a dream job, right? Like, I have been in my career for, I don't know, 12, 15 years. Who the fuck knows by this point? I don't know. I don't remember. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know if this is my life's true ambition. I'm not quite sure if I am meant to buy expensive ass pillows for the billionaires of America. But what I am good at and what I can do is get a guy off. That is what I can do.
See, I think I would be terrible at this job. Like, really? Truly, truly bad. Because I think I would laugh. I think I would find the entire situation so hilarious that I would have to laugh because I wouldn't be able to take this seriously.
What a boner killer.
I know. Really?
You can't be doing that. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I fully support Megan's new job of being a phone sex operator. Mm-hmm. And I mean, truly, if you get the bag, you know, then the job is good, to be
exactly
honest with you.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I think this is going to happen often, where anytime Sean and Megan have a disagreement, I feel like we're probably going to always side with Megan, because Megan is a liberal minded woman. Like, this is a job. She has a job. Mm-hmm. She's making good money. I audibly groaned and rolled my eyes when Sean was like, every time you take a call, you're cheating on me. And it's like, bro, get out of here with that. I mean, the only credit I will give Sean is I feel like this should have been like, Megan should have at least told him. I'm not saying get permission from him, but I do think you should say, like, I'm doing this for a job. It means nothing. It means money in my bank account.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Maybe she should have shared prior to him just like finding out. She kind of is like, well, I'm my own person. I make my own decisions. You are like my boyfriend, but you don't make decisions for me. So I don't need to ask permission. However, I mean, that's not exactly what a good partner in life does, but it's okay. So my counter argument to, like, whenever you do this, you're cheating on me. Sean has worked in film before, right? That is kind of his job, like documentary.
Well, now he's behind the scenes camera producer, whatever.
My question is, like, does, when Sean sees an actor and actress on TV making out and they are married, Does he think that the actor and actress are cheating on their significant others? Because Megan is playing a part. Essentially, she is an actress and is putting on a production, right?
Exactly.
So, does he see it cheating when an actor and actress on TV, movies, theater, are they cheating on their significant others? Because they're playing a part. They don't have genuine feelings. Sometimes they do. I mean, I still will never forgive Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie for being homewreckers. Fuck you and fuck Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Truly. Yeah. I will never watch that movie. Have you ever watched that movie?
I think I've seen it, but okay. Being the diehard Friends girly that I am and was when all that was happening, of course I was team Jen. Never would I ever be freaking team Brangelina. Absolutely not.
Nobody was, because that was nasty. They could have clearly just enjoyed making out behind the camera, like those dirty fucks, and then like left that shit at home, and then like broke off with their respective partners in the privacy of their own home, not in front of national eyes, but whatever. So I just think that that was like a little dramatic. Now, you know what I'm going to ask. Boom, boom, boom. And I think that we should like switch it around, because obviously I want to know, like, we are both in committed relationships with, you know, white straight guys. I want to know, what do you think my partner Adam's reaction was to when I asked him if he would be mad if I became a phone sex worker?
I think his reaction was, I feel like his first question is like, well, how much do you make doing it?
Okay.
And like, if you made enough money, I don't think he would care.
That is exactly Adam's reaction.
Yeah. And I'm so proud of myself for getting that, Craig.
Adam would be so fine with it if we made good money.
Yeah.
Adam loves money. So, and he loves when I make the bag. So he would be totally fine with me being a phone sex worker as long as I brought in bank. And the same goes to, he encourages, I'm not going to do this, but he always says, if I wanted to start an OnlyFans, then I totally could, because those bitches make a lot of money.
They do.
They have hundreds and hundreds of thousands in their bank account. And I said to him, Adam, nobody wants to see me naked like that. And he said, well, I do. So there we go.
Wow.
I think that Will would like kind of chuckle to himself and be like, you would never do that.
Okay, well, we're going to find out, because I literally just asked him and I'm waiting for his reply. Yeah. I think the thing is, Sean should be fine with this. I think the only problem here is that I just think, don't give them Sean's home phone number. Like, I feel like it, without cell phones being involved, that's a problem, because you have randos calling your line. So like, without,
did they call her? I thought she grabbed the phone and went upstairs.
Yes, but later on in the episode, Sean picks up the phone and it's like some rando. So that I'm on his side with, like, that's my home phone. That's my peace. That's my privacy. I don't want randos having my phone number. Like, I understand that aspect. But I think like, beyond that, no, he's being so dramatic, and especially because she tells the guy she has a boyfriend. Like, it's not like she's even, and again, even if she lied and said she didn't, it's a job. Like, she's getting paid. And this is, first of all, sex work is valid work. Second of all, there's no penetration. There's nothing of that sort. She has no emotional attachment, as far as we understand, to any of these people. It's good money. And all she has to do is talk on the phone. Are you kidding me? 13-year-old me would have been like, talking on the phone, I could do that in my sleep. Hey, give me the money now.
I mean, all my hobo boyfriends definitely got some. We had phone sex all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so he's being dramatic.
I will say, one of my talents, I don't have a lot of talents in life, but one of my talents in life is phone sex.
I love that this is on your list of talents, is I can talk sexually on a phone.
I don't think it would make the resume of life, my CV, so you speak, but yeah, that's one of my talents.
Well, you also were, you were long distance too for a little bit. So I feel like anybody who's been long distance, I feel like automatically is better at phone sex.
That is true. A lot of relationships that I've been in were long distance. I don't know, because I couldn't get anybody in my parameter.
You just like to make it difficult on yourself. You're like, let's take a regular relationship and make it more difficult. Can I tell, oh my God, this just rung a bell in my head of something that I haven't thought about in years, literal years. When this is such red flags. When I was like 20 or whatever and got engaged to my first boyfriend because he proposed suddenly, I was not expecting it and I didn't know what to say. And I said, yes. I remember freaking out and being like, instead of being engaged, can we just call it like expert level dating? I'm like, I forget what I called it, but it was something like that where I was like, it's like dating, but like extra.
Jessica.
I didn't want to be engaged, Sarah, and I didn't know what to do.
You say no.
I was 20 years old. We weren't even home. We were at Niagara Falls. So we were like literally on vacation. What was I to do?
How romantic. What was that ring looking like? As a, he was a little bit older, so like he was like 25, right?
So I was 20, I think, and he was 24. He was 4 years older.
Okay, so
but he was poor, so like we both were poor. Like this is not me judging him. Like we were both young, 20 something.
Yeah,
he was a poor. No, the ring. Looking back.
Yeah,
the ring was not that exciting. So it was the band was white gold, and the, what is it called? The, not crown. What is it called? The thing that holds the
prongs.
Yes, but the whole head piece, not just the prong. Like
got
the
it.
Whole thing itself. Yeah. That was yellow gold. So I liked that. That was cool.
Tone. Okay.
Yes, but the gem itself was a like yellow diamond. So it like was a diamond, but it was a yellow diamond, and it was so small because he couldn't afford anything because we were so young and we shouldn't have been engaged.
Yeah.
So yeah, I much prefer obviously the ring that my husband got.
Did you give it back to him?
Of course I did. Of course I did.
Okay. Okay.
Girl, he lived with his sister. Like, he needed that money. You know what I mean?
You think
like,
that he was able to resell that? I don't know.
Certainly. What do you think? He kept it?
For the next one.
Oh, my God. I also, sometimes I have, like, nightmares that I'm going to run into him somewhere. Because, like, he lived where my parents, roughly around where my parents still live. So, like, there is the chance I could run into him. And it gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't
know why. Did it really end that badly? That, like, that would be a disaster if you ran into him?
It's more so guilt on my side. Like, I broke up with him. And so then I feel, like, this, like, shame of, like, seeing him because it's weird.
Yes.
Anyway. Back to the story.
Did he get back to you yet? Or is he, like...
Yeah, he wouldn't like it.
Oh, he would not like it.
No, of course he wouldn't like it.
Is that what you would have thought that he said?
Yeah, for sure. He would not like it.
He is a little jealous, like I'm jealous.
Scorpio Venus, Sarah. Yes, he loves me and no one else is allowed to love me.
Yes, that does track.
And I don't mind that. I mean, it's not like I would do it anyway. So like I said, I would laugh. So it's not anything you have to be concerned about.
I mean, I'm probably more so along the lines of like, will, like, I think that like the jealousy, I think like at first I'd be like, yes, baby, get the bag. But I think that it would be sooner than probably initially anticipated that the jealousy would creep in.
I think if you were to overhear something and you were to overhear them either, I think if you were to overhear Adam either like saying something he says to you or even saying something he doesn't say to you. And then I think either way you'd get upset because I think you'd either say, oh my God, why are you saying the same things you say to me to someone else? Yeah. Or you'd say, what is this? Like, you don't say that to me. I think either way he'd be fucked.
You know, I can feel the tightness in my chest and I'm already getting jealous. See? And there's no way that he would do this.
I knew it.
Would you get jealous?
I was just going to say, this is never anything we'll do again. Scorpio Venus. He is one. I think, and obviously everyone should feel very secure in their relationships, mm-hmm. but that is something I've never, ever had to worry about or will ever have to worry about, is he is not a cheater because he is so supremely loyal. He is truly
a very loyal man.
I don't think I would care for it. But also, again, I think my question would be, how much money are you making off? You know what I mean? Like, I think it'd be like, what's the dollar amount here? But yeah, Sean's being a big baby. I like that this is Megan's job. I think both it fits her personality. I think it's fun. I don't think someone like Megan does have like a normal, quote unquote, normal like office job.
Yeah.
And this storyline led to so many phones being present on the show that gave me such a flashback. Sarah, I had messaged you at one point, or I messaged someone at some point, with these phones on this episode. This is the age where we have landlines still, but they're cordless landlines. And I remember the time that, I mean, back in the day, it was like you only had one phone line. Sometimes you had two. If you were like rich families, you had two phone lines. Mm-hmm. And I remember having like a funky colored, chunky phone. Yeah. Mine was like teal. I think, was it Felicity at one point is on the phone on a red phone this episode? Mm. It just really brought me back to those like early aughts days.
Yeah, I had a phone in my bedroom, which was like very exciting as a teenager before I got a cell phone, because I was like a little bit old. I didn't get a cell phone until I was 16, which mm-hmm. But in like those standards, it was like a little bit older. Like, I mean, it wasn't like everybody had a cell phone but me, but because it was kind of in those years, those transition years where like younger people were getting cell phones. Now 8-year-olds have cell phones because, I don't know,
crazy.
They need cell phones. Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I remember having a landline in my room and I was like very excited about it. And I also remember the whole thing of like, oh, there you are like clogging up the phone line, right? Especially when you connected the internet to the phone.
Yes, yes.
So you couldn't be on the internet for so long. You can like dial in because you'd be clogging up the phone lines. But quite honestly, it's like by the time that like I let go of my landline, it was like if I got a phone call on the landline, I was like, these are bill collectors. Do not pick up the phone.
Yeah.
I do not want anybody to call our landline. That is like bad news when people call the landline at this moment. But this was like a really fun storyline sandwiched in between like lesser fun storylines. I thought this episode was good because obviously we had a lot of fun. So we love it when the girls go out. And obviously, whenever there's like Greek stuff involved, I get very excited. I'm happy that there was Greek stuff. Greek as in like fraternities.
Greek life. Yeah. Greek
life. I kind of wish it was a little bit more or a little bit different.
Yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from because it was like we really only got like dribs and drabs of the actual like fraternity party. It felt like we could have done a little bit more there. But yeah, beyond that, that is obviously what we're looking at as like the drama, the meat of the episode. But can we talk first about Noel's potential new job of like basically being IT? I think this fits super well in terms of what we know about Noel, right? He's like, he's a Mac guy. He's always been a Mac guy. He's like obsessed with computers. He does design, you know, that sort of thing for a major. It makes sense. I like this as like story progression for Noel. But this guy that has the potential to be his boss, and I suppose maybe he did get the job, so is his new boss. He's a fucking like, listen, I'm all for being a weirdo and a nerd and everything. Uh-huh. Does this guy fuck computers?
Oh, yeah. This guy is in this day and age, he would be buying those like little sex robots. Those like real dolls.
The real ones that are like hundreds of dollars, maybe thousands. No. I don't know.
Girl, they're not hundreds of dollars. Oh my gosh. The ones you can like customize them fully. You can like creepy. Yeah, you like order them and like to your liking. So like you can pick like eye color, skin color, hair color. you know, freckle placement. Like, it gets very specific, obviously, boob size and like hoo-ha tightness. Yes. But
but yeah, but this guy is like a little bit, it's a bit much. The way he talks about computers is very much like he wants to fuck them, but he treats them like they're human beings, and it's very strange.
It's and a lot of like calling them she.
Yeah, always using female pronouns when talking about computers. And Noel really wants this job, so he's gonna have to do this whole like test of like basically computer Olympics to make sure he can fix any virus, fix anything wrong with these computers. And I kind of liked that we're including Tracy in this. Like, I like that we're having a scene with Noel and Tracy together. It makes sense being that Noel and Elena were roommates. Tracy and Noel probably hung out from time to time. And he's also a bit of a nerd in that, you know, he's pre-med. So he's very, really smart. So he's like, I have this backup computer. I have this old computer. I'll test you in, by using the computer. Well, Tracy's a bit dumb and doesn't realize Elena had been working on this like super important paper on the old laptop, not the new one.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is just a case of bad communication between Tracy and Elena, because like, I don't think that he was being dumb. Like, he was, he clearly had said, like, when Noel was handling the new computer, Tracy said, hey, my baby's important term paper is on that. Don't fuck around with it. Like, put it down. So, like, he was very, very, very aware of the fact that Elena was using his computer for something extremely important. He wasn't aware that it was on the old computer. The only thing is that, like, Elena had said that she's been working on this term paper for months now. And it's like, well, it's a new computer. He got a new computer.
Yeah, and so, this is before the cloud. This is before anything like that. Yeah. This is before, like, autosave, probably. So you're having to manually save your work. And that was the thing I was wondering, Sarah. It's like, to me, I don't know how you could not realize she was working on the old laptop, because, for one, months of work. And also, when you see her working on it, you see her working on your old laptop. So that didn't track.
Sometimes but people are not good at the details. Anyway, like, I think that it was... it's not like he was not being thoughtful for of Elena and his like partner, because he clearly had said, like, hey, like, she's working on this, like, be careful. I just want to know, like, what crazy virus Tracy was able to put on the
I don't understand how any of this worked, like how you're able to just put a virus on a computer. And then they're struggling, and so eventually they have to call in Noel's like new boss guy to help fix it, and he basically gives up at a certain point in time. But somehow Noel just has an epiphany and is able to fix everything, so he obviously is going to get the job. The other funny thing along with the storyline is how much everyone equates being good with computers to being a Trekkie.
Yes. Yeah. Have you ever watched any Star Trek ever?
I haven't. I know vaguely. I know the difference between Star Trek and Star Wars. Like, if you were to say a character, I'm pretty sure I would know which show it's for, or which franchise it's from.
Okay.
I know you were more of a Trekkie because your dad was a Trekkie, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, I wouldn't call myself a Trekkie. My dad definitely was. He was a big fan, like, liked all the iterations. He made friends with one of the producers, so he used to be able to go on set at times with, I don't know which iteration. I watched Deep Space Nine with my dad and my mom, and that was the one that, like, I really liked, because honestly, it's like more drama and relationship stuff and less like pew pew shooty stuff in space, because they're basically on like a ship that like a lot of people live on. Like, it's kind of like Xenon Girl of the 21st century, where they like live in the sky.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
So I really like Deep Space Nine. My dad like had bought me like action figures of like Deep Space Nine characters, and I used to play with them. I think I got those before my first Barbies. Can you tell my dad clearly wanted a son really badly? So yeah, like that was kind of like my connection. And like the two fingers thing, like my dad taught me how to do that when I was really young. So I definitely have connected. I was able to like connect. And yeah, my dad was definitely a huge nerd. Like he loved new tech. Like whenever he passed away before iPhones came, but like if he was alive during the iPhone era, he would be like the guy that gets the new iPhone every time.
Yeah.
He did the same thing with like his Palm Pilot. Like every single time like a Palm Pilot came around, he was like, gotta get the new one. He loved new tech. So I think that he was definitely, I mean, I don't think that my dad was into fucking computers, but maybe, I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
To quote a Buffy episode, Noel's new boss was getting jacked in to all these computers.
He was definitely getting jacked in. So I enjoyed the storyline as well, just because I thought it was funny, like, honestly, them, like, all huddled around the computer, like, trying to figure out how to fix this. And then poor Tracy, once again, like, I feel like he does this all the time. Like, he tries to do right by Elena so much, but he's not lucky. That's the thing. Like, there's people that go through life and who are extremely lucky. And I feel like Tracy does things and just like gets a little like sprinkling of bad luck and kind of like fucks it up a little. Cause like, I never think that he does anything that's not in Elena's best interest or like not for Elena, but it always goes a little sour. So I kind of feel bad for him in that regard. And then, yeah, like I do think that that's a really good job for Noel. I think that like IT is really good. I love IT guys. I used to at my job, not my current job, my first job out of college. Did I ever tell you about the IT guy that I would always flirt with? I was like, we had a relationship that like they would have written books about the star-crossed love between me and the IT guy.
Listen, there is a benefit to flirting with your IT guy at work, especially if you work at like a corporate sort of place, because I dated the IT guy at my job when I was younger, and I got better monitors. Anytime I had an IT request, it always was fulfilled much quicker than anyone else's. Like I got two great monitors when sometimes most people had one shitty one and one good one.
Wow.
So
It definitely behooves you to flirt / date with the IT guy.
Exactly.
I don't remember, but I did get in trouble once from my boss because she told me to stop flirting with the IT guy. And I said, I said, I'm not flirting. And she said,
you're not my real dad. You can't tell me what to do.
I was like, don't you want me to play out my fantasies?
Yes.
And she was like, no, she was like, pay attention to work. I was like, fine.
All right, let's shift topics here. Let's talk about Javier and his journey this episode. Oh. We originally were like, oh my God, we're getting Greek life. That means Javier is going to be a part of he's going to pledge a fraternity. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen, but he does pass his citizenship test. And I was so happy for Javier. And can I tell you, one of my favorite duos on this show at this point is Ben and Javier. I think they're hilarious together.
Yeah, it's really cute. It's really special because Ben is helping Javier study for his citizenship exam and just like hearing their different perspectives, because I think like a lot of us, Ben takes for granted of being a citizen of the United States of America, where we do get it's kind of hard after this week, but we do get a lot of rights. We do have the ability to say what we want to say and do what we want to do and try to live out the American dream. And people, we come from like a wealthy country, a well-educated country, and there's a lot of places around the world that don't have as many opportunities as us. So a lot of the times I do think Americans get very jaded about because of how they're unhappy with how things are going, and they forget how grateful we should be to be living in the United States of America, which, by the way, I think that we need to work on ourselves a lot with and without this election result. But so to just hear Ben's perspective, which I think that like a lot of us do get into, and hearing Javier say like, hey, like it's not just a card, like because Ben was saying like, hey, if you don't pass this exam, it's just a card, you know, you won't lose your job, you're not gonna die, like you're not gonna get deported, it's just a card. And Javier is like, it's more than just a card, it's like what it represents. And I think that somebody like Ben needs to hear that. I think that just like really speaks to how like we need to listen to people that are like come from different backgrounds than us.
Yeah. Yeah. It was tough to be Team Ben this episode, because just to give a little bit of context, right? This is all happening. This episode airs right around the 2000, the presidential election in 2000. So Bush versus Gore, Bush Jr., second Bush, W.
You were landing the plane, but you're like, yeah,
there's a lot of Bushes, but it's Bush versus Gore.
The one that paints.
Yes. So Ben basically says like, I'm not planning on voting. And that's tough. It's tough to, I'm sure it was tough to watch in 2000, but I think given what we've gone through the past week, I think it's even tougher to hear it after the results of the election that we got. I think it's tough no matter what, if someone says like, I don't feel like I need to vote, or I don't feel like I have anything to say with my vote, because that's a huge right that you have. It's a right that people have fought for. It's a right that women have fought for. It's a right that non-white people have fought for, is the right to vote, the right to have an opinion and a say in our country and how it's run. And so having a character like Ben say, no, like I'm just not going to do it, that's tough. Wasn't exactly my favorite Ben moment.
I'm trying to like be polite, but you know that if Ben was, if we transported Ben at this age into the 2024 elections, you know that Ben would probably be like a Joe Roganer. And do we want him?
Would he? Would he? I hope not. Ben seems like a nice enough guy. I don't know.
It's not so nice. It's about the demographic and how like people.
It's fair. He's a young white guy, which means not great things.
19 years old. Yeah. So it's like, well, maybe we don't want him to vote in this election.
No, but we want him to be informed, I think, is the thing, right? Like, we want him to be informed. And I think I liked the conversations we got to see between Javier and Ben, where Javier is like, this is a privilege. Like, you're not exercising a privilege that you have that people have fought for. And you should be. And it's a big deal for Javier to be a citizen. I think you're totally right. And like, listening to people that aren't necessarily the same as us is important, right? Like, listening to people that aren't young white men when you're a young white man is important. And so I liked that Javier influenced Ben to like register to vote and to do something about it. And I loved getting to watch Javier be really excited to be an American citizen. It was very difficult for me to watch it, being that, in my opinion, this isn't exactly our proudest moment. It's really difficult. But, you know, I think it's one of those things where it's with the elephant in the room, I can't ignore it. It has been a very difficult week. It is not surprising, but still extremely difficult to kind of live in this country, in a country where I completely disagree with what has just happened in the past election. And I think it's embarrassing. I think like it is a super embarrassing moment for our country again. And yeah, I don't know. It's not exactly. It's kind of funny that this like presidential election citizenship test storyline came when it did for us. But I was really happy for Javier, as much as it's a little bit painful right now and embarrassing right now. I don't have a ton of patriotism, I guess, is what I would say in this current moment. But I'm happy for Javier. And I like that he was able to talk to Ben and be like, listen, like, this is important. And I hope that that continued for Ben going forward. Like, I hope that the 2000 election wasn't the only one he voted in, because in case we need to say it, it's important that people vote. It's important that people are not just voters, informed voters. Like, do your research. Don't just listen to ads on TikTok and Joe Rogan. Like, you need to actually form an opinion on what's going on, because as much as I would love to just stick my head in the sand and pretend that like I can live my life and it doesn't matter what happens at the presidential level, it does. And local elections matter as well. Your future, if you have children, your children's future, you know, your friend's kids, if you're an aunt, an uncle, whatever, it all matters. And so I like that Javier was able to impress that, you know, the importance of that on Ben, as difficult as it was for this storyline. I will get off my soapbox now, but it has been a very difficult week for many, I'm sure. If you're listening to this podcast and it wasn't a difficult week for you, hi, who are you? But like, it's been a difficult week. And I just have to say, I really appreciated Javier this episode, not just for him convincing Ben to vote and having those important conversations, but also for his phone sex voice, which I loved and adored so much and needed the levity of.
I think that's all very well said. I mean, I have a lot of thoughts, and I don't know if we need to get into them. I just think that what I want to focus on myself and kind of what I want to tell other people is, if you are not happy with the outcome of any election, what you need to do is get involved yourself. So I was really upset the day after, very scared. So what I ultimately decided to do in that moment, I could have just stayed in bed. That's typically what I like to do. Like, I rot in
cocoon.
Bed. I cocoon. Yeah. So, but what I did instead was I took agency over my own life, and I signed up to get newsletters for my local Democratic community. I'm going to an event on Tuesday. I signed up for a nonprofit organization that helps women get like reproductive rights. So I am trying to make the difference that I crave. I'm trying to harness this energy and this injustice to help the people in need that will need it. I mean, for me, it's very illuminating and scary, because it's not like I live in New Jersey or New York or California. I live in Indiana. My rights, I moved to a state where I have less rights than I did a year and a half ago, which is scary. It's scary for my future child. So I can sit here and just think about how much that sucks and go inward, or I can try to be part of the difference. And that is what I like behoove everybody to do at this time, is harness that energy, that anger that you might feel, that fear, that sadness, and try to be part of the change, and educating people like Ben, where, you know, where they think that like their vote doesn't matter, or their opinion doesn't matter, or they might think differently from us, and like have the discussions. And like, I think like my biggest takeaway is like, if we sit here and blame the people that have different beliefs than us, that is only going to continue the divisiveness. I think that we need to come at this with kindness and an open ear and have these discussions. And I think that is what's going to change the narrative. Like, let's not continue being divisive. Let's not call our neighbor a fucking jackass. Let's like talk to them and try to find like where we can work together. So I think like that's what it is. Like, I don't think I'm coming at this with a thought of like, these people are terrible and they're like awful and they think differently from me. I'm saying, you know, they made these decisions because at one point in time, they were scared about what their future is going to look like. And they did this because they thought that this was the best decision for them. So let's have the conversations and like, let's let it be productive. I think that that is like the worst thing that has happened, is that it's been a very me versus you thing. And I think that we need to find a way for us to work together. That's my opinion on it.
Well, that's Javier's storyline. We get to see him become a citizen. I was really happy for Javier because it's what he really wants. And he worked hard for it because let's be real. Most citizens could not pass the citizenship test.
Did you try to take it like as he was answering some of the questions?
Oh, yeah. I did not know a lot of the answers to the questions. I am notoriously terrible at history, specifically my own history, like American history. I was never very good at. I don't have a brain for retaining dates, names, places, like geography. I promise I try. Mm-hmm. Maybe not hard enough. I'm really bad at it. So no, I would never be able to pass the citizenship test. Well, I can tell you right now.
Okay. You knew that Hawaii and Alaska were the last.
Yes, of course.
Okay, that much we know. Did you know what year the Civil War started?
No.
So the funny thing was that I said 1867, which was super close. However, mm-hmm. I named the year that my sorority was founded. So that was a little bit of a miss, but yeah.
You heard it was a Greek life episode and you're like, this is the year.
And right? I was so close. Cause like, of course, like it's like the 1860s. Right. So I was like, I blurted out 1867. He was like 1861. And I was like, oh gosh. And then I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
I was like, it was literally the founding year of my sorority. That's like funny. I am, maybe I am the problem actually. I'm very happy for Javier to get his citizenship, his green card.
He's a full-blown citizen at this point.
Yeah. My coworker Barney became a citizen. He was born in England and was a Londoner, and he came over about like 20 years ago to America. And I think it was last year that he became a U.S. citizen, and he took the test. He was very nervous, I remember, and he passed. And then, so this year, like, he voted for the first time. When he texted me and was like, I voted, I was like, that's amazing, Barney. Like, you know, now it's time for you to blow off some fireworks and eat a hot dog. Like,
there you go.
American now.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into Felicity's storyline because she has a lot going on this episode, mainly surrounding the aftermath of Julie leaving. And I liked this. I liked and appreciated that we're not just like, Julie's gone, who cares? Hurrah, moving on. Like, Felicity has been impacted by this. She feels extremely guilty. She's having a difficult time moving on from Julie leaving. And it kind of... when Julie's mom calls, Felicity has a little bit of like a crisis of conscience of, should I tell her? Because Julie didn't. She has no idea that Julie's not in New York. So my question to you is, Sarah, if you're Felicity, Julie's mom calls, has no idea she's no longer in college, no longer in the state of New York, at least to your knowledge, do you say anything?
Yes, I think so. I know, I understand Elena's point of, you know, Julie really wanted to say so yourself, but the fact that like it has been days since Julie has left and her mother does not know where she is or that she dropped out of school, I do think that Felicity should not have lied in that moment. I know that it I don't know. Like, I know that Julie deserves to tell her own parents about her decisions, but at this point in time, and remind me, did she talk to Julie's mom before or after the powder substance was found?
Before, I think. Because she talks to her twice, and I think once is before and once is after. Okay. I think you could find a middle ground here. I think you can tell her Julie left, Julie dropped out, and she left, and we don't know where she is. She left us a video. It's not like we could have stopped her. And I also think you say, we think it has something to do with her father's passing. I don't think you need to get into Julie lied, on and on. Like, I don't know that I think that is maybe information you let Julie tell her. Yeah. But I do think you say immediately, Julie is not here. Because if it's a matter of safety, I think Julie's mom has a right to know. Especially because I think if I'm Felicity in the group and I get that video from Julie, I kind of assume she went home. I don't assume that she's just wandering around, you know? I kind of assume her parents know.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's exactly the piece of information that I think that Felicity should have shared. That, like, Julie left. She has dropped out of school. I do not know where she is. And I had assumed that she was going home. So now I'm concerned. So
exactly, because this is like a safety thing, right? Like, Julie is alone. Like, who knows where she is? And her parents don't know. And she, it's a little scary, especially knowing she's grieving. Like, she's actively going through, like, some trauma that she needs to work through. Mm-hmm. And her family is a support system for her. The thing I didn't appreciate, and I don't think is productive, is later when Felicity does tell Julie's mom everything about, she even goes into everything about her bio dad and everything. Julie's mom really guilts Felicity about this. I just don't think that's productive. No. I understand she's scared. She's a scared mom. She's a scared parent. You know, her and her husband have no idea where their daughter is. But it's not Felicity's. Felicity is not Julie's keeper. Like, it's not her fault at all. She had nothing to do with anything that happened. In fact, she's a supportive friend and already feels horrible about Julie leaving. So I just don't think that's very productive. I'm not a parent, so I can't really speak to, like, the fear. But yeah, I felt really bad for Felicity this episode. And I liked that we got to see her mourning Julie leaving, because it would have felt like a little weird to have her just move on very quickly.
Yeah. And I would have assumed that, like, Julie left and we would have never heard from her again. But once again, like, I think that it just speaks to this show versus some other shows that we could or would cover that have, like, a less caliber. Is that what I want to say? Like, they're not as intelligent. They treat us like a bunch of dummies, you know? So, I feel as though, you know, blaming is just, like, not helpful in this situation. Like, I think that once again, like, kind of going back to what I spoke to earlier, now we put on our productive hats, right? Like, now we figure out a solution to this issue instead of blaming. Like, we are both two people that are scared for the same person, that care for the same person. Let's put on our hats and work on as a team instead of saying it's your fault or it's your fault or it's this thing's fault. Let's, like, work together and try to figure out, like, where Julie is. I don't know, in a city like New York, I don't know how possible it is. Like, ultimately,
without cell phones and stuff, it's very difficult. Yeah.
Ultimately, like, Julie came to Felicity and is like, hey, like, I'm alive. How do you feel about this revelation that Julie might have been on some sort of drugs?
This is fascinating. This is not the end of the crystal meth, possibly, if we are to believe the British roommate, whose name I've already forgotten.
Is it Molly?
Sounds like, okay, Molly. That'd be funny. I think it is Molly. But yeah, she thinks it's crystal meth. Her brother had had a problem with crystal meth in the past, which kind of, in my opinion, rules her out as a potential option because she is like, that is dangerous stuff. I want nothing to do with it. But Felicity finds these drugs in Julie's closet. Now, these are most certainly going to come back in some way, shape, or form, whether it is this is whose drugs it really was, like it was secretly Ben's drugs and he was hiding them in there, or someone's drugs and they were hiding them in there, or I don't think they flushed them. Like, I don't recall seeing them be discarded. So is someone going to do these drugs? I don't think they were Julie's drugs. When Felicity does end up talking to Julie at the end of the episode, Julie says they were not her drugs. And I do believe her. I don't think this is the last we're going to see of these drugs. But my question to you is, Sarah, one, whose drugs are they? And two, who's going to do the drugs eventually?
Okay. So whose drugs are these? Are we to believe it's really crystal meth? Now, I am a professional. I have watched this really indie show that nobody else has seen called
Stop It.
Breaking Bad. It's basically like a documentary, and it taught me everything that I need to know.
So you're like, this can't be crystal meth because it's not blue.
Yes. Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying.
Incredible.
Is there a world where this substance is cocaine?
It looked like coke to me. Okay. Yeah.
Now, if it is cocaine, the 80s finance bros were all up on the cocaine in the 80s to make them work harder. Is this Elena's cocaine?
I think no. I think Elena is someone who would be extremely judgmental if someone did drugs. We could look at Elena as a character who is like always striving to succeed. And so she feels like the need to take speed or something to like push her through some tests.
Is it Adderall smashed up?
I think it might be crystal meth, just because why else have that scene of Molly being like, my brother did crystal meth. It looks like crystal meth. I don't think this is going to have anything to do with Elena. In fact, who I think will inevitably, I think this one person is either owner of the drugs or will take the drugs. I'm leaning more towards will take the drugs. And I'm going to say it's Ben because he is involved in this. He asks about the drugs multiple times this episode. He's going through a whole thing with his alcoholic father who's in the hospital. I think there's a lot on Ben's plate. And I also think Felicity potentially cheated on Ben. And I think there is going to be times where Ben is going to spiral this season. And I think inevitably he will be taking the drugs.
Oh boy. I don't know if I'm like ready for a Ben is doing crystal meth, because in the documentary, it seemed like nobody was very productive when they took the meth.
This is a hard drug. This isn't marijuana. This isn't coke. This is fucking crystal meth. That shit is addictive as fuck.
Yes. In the documentary, people would go in great lengths to buy the crystal meth.
Yeah.
Exactly. I just know this. Like, I'm well educated. I've seen a lot of it was a big documentary. There was like five
very seasons. Long. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've watched every episode. And then there was like this secondary documentary that I also watched.
The movie
about the lawyer. No, I didn't finish the movie.
Oh, you just watched. Okay. You watched the follow up to the original documentary.
Yeah. I have to watch the movie, actually.
I thought it was decent. I liked it. I thought it was fine.
Well, Adam won't watch it with me because he hates movies.
He doesn't like movies. Yeah.
So he won't watch it with me.
I get that. I don't know how long it is. It might be a long one.
It's like 2 hours.
So he's definitely out. Anything over an hour and a half and he's out.
Yeah. And he's not into education like I am.
Exactly. So, exactly.
He doesn't want to know. I'm so fucking
okay,
dumb.
Okay. Let's put down our predictions now. So I think the drugs were just left in the closet by some rando previously. And I think Ben is going to inevitably ingest said drugs. Where do you land on whose were they? Who will take them?
I do agree with you that we are going to go through a spiral of a character. However, is it Felicity's spiral? Is she going to wind up taking the meth? Yes. That okay. is where I am landing. Okay. I think Felicity looked so down and out this episode. I've never seen a woman so beautiful look so ugly.
It was the hair.
No, but it was the hair, but it was like the dark the circles bags on her eyes. Yeah. And she was like ghostly gray.
As a fellow dark circle girly, life is tough sometimes. And they're full on indentations into my face that are genetic and I can't do anything about them.
I think that it's going to be Felicity's spiral.
Okay. Well, speaking of Felicity, great segue into talking about Girls Night, because Megan is a fucking icon. Okay. Mm-hmm. Megan is a legend. I am loving Megan being way more included in this season in the storylines and being a full-on girls girl, because you know what? She says, listen, something's up. Felicity's in a major funk. She's like doing shitty in her classes. She's just been sitting, staring at nothing for like an hour. We need to do something, girls. We're doing a girls night. So Elena can't go because she has computer issues she has to deal with.
Which, okay, if anything else, like, you know, I'm very, like, pro Tracy always. Like, I love Tracy. If anything else, I'm mad that, like, he made her miss Girls Night.
I agree. I wish she had gone out because I think it would have been good to get her mind off of it. But also, if I'm Elena, I'm not going out. I'm sitting there watching until someone fixes my computer. So I understand, but I agree with you. I was upset. But I love Megan going to Noel and be like, where did Leon party? And he's like, you can't handle where I partied.
I'm very disappointed that we did not get to see where Leon partied.
Oh, also, tiny one little nugget I forgot to bring up when we were talking about Noel earlier is him and Natalie are still together. She went to Oktoberfest and she will be returning. So they are still dating. A little update on them.
Because true love.
True love, exactly. Not the boat. Just the concept.
Oh, the boat.
So Megan goes next door and is like, knock, knock, knock. Where's your closest party? Okay, frat party, done deal. We're going. So they go. It's Megan, it's Molly, and it's Felicity who are going to this frat party. And they're playing. They take Jello shots. We see Jello shots being taken, which is very fun.
Have you had Jello shots?
Of course. I'm a human who's over the age of 21. Of course I've consumed a Jello shot.
Jello shots are great.
Yes.
I mean, you're going to say what I'm going to say, so go ahead.
I don't know that I am. Okay. I think the most difficult thing about Jello shots is making sure that whatever container holds the Jello shot works, because when I was in my early 20s, these are dumb shit you do in your early 20s. My friend at the time worked at a hospital. Like, she was either in school for nursing or she was a nurse. I don't remember. And she stole a bunch of those little like medicine cups that you take like Pepto-Bismol with.
Yes.
And we put Jello shots in them, but they were a very hard plastic and the Jello would not come out of them. You had to like use a butter knife to go around the edges. So I think ideally you have something like those little ketchup cups from like a McDonald's, those paper ones.
Yes.
Because you can then just scrunch it and throw it out. But the delivery system of the Jello shot is key.
That is true. That is a good point. I was going to say that they sneak up on you. That is
definitely 1,000%.
Yeah. So I thought it was like a good showing of how bad Felicity got because of the Jello shot.
How easy it is. Yeah.
How easy it is to get absolutely fucking wrecked.
Especially when you have no tolerance because you're not a big drinker to start with. And then you're taking something that is sweet. You barely taste the alcohol in it. It's very easy to shoot a lot of those back. Mm-hmm. And they're playing strip ping pong, which I guess is similar to like a beer pong situation. I don't know that beer pong was invented yet.
I'm sure it was.
But they're doing strip ping pong. And Megan gets called away because she has to go take a phone sex call on a payphone.
Yeah.
So she leaves Molly and Felicity to their own devices at this party. Now, I think this is not Megan's fault because I think as long as you have one other, as if it's the two of you and you ditch your friend, not great. But there's three of you. So theoretically, Molly and Felicity should be looking out for one another.
Yes, I agree. I think that I have been to a frat party or two in my day. And rule number one is the buddy system. you cannot, I mean, like, you can't leave your sisters out high and dry. Yes. Can you shut up? Do you hear that dog whine like a fucking baby?
He's upset.
You're not Felicity. You don't know.
He's upset that Felicity possibly slept with some rando named Randy.
Possibly. Yeah, no, like it's nobody's fault individually. It's just that like these little idiots need to invoke the buddy system, and it is irresponsible to leave your friends high and dry. Now, we don't know Molly. We know that Molly is a believer in the Bindi and spiritualness, mm-hmm. but she apparently doesn't believe in the buddy system.
And yeah, this is where I was a little confused, because Megan leaves and is like all of a sudden, oh no, where's Felicity? Where'd she go? I couldn't find her. I lost her. I feel so guilty. The fuck was Molly during this whole thing?
Yeah. And then also it's just like, she was in the fraternity house exactly. the whole time. Did you, she's like, Megan was like, I was looking for Felicity all night. Did you check every single fucking room of the Felicity of the fraternity house that you were literally just in? Like, I don't understand how it did not seem like we were. I'm sure Megan like was like looking all over the place. She probably went back to the apartment. She probably did this and that, the other thing. But it's like, did you check the entire house?
Right. I'm in agreement with you, especially, and I'm not trying to shame Megan or Molly or anybody.
I'm not.
But also, like, considering everything that happened to Julie, it's just like, it's very scary. Like, you don't buddy system, like you said. And so Megan feels terrible. Again, it's not Megan's fault, in my opinion.
And it's not Molly's fault either.
No, it just, it's Felicity got drunk and she may or may not have slept with Randy, but regardless, she was in Randy's bed the next morning. She wakes up, she feels terrible. She's like throwing up in garbage cans alongside the streets, which just feels awful. Like, I can't imagine living in New York City and then being like waking up and having to just go like vomit in a random garbage.
Girly Pop did the walk of shame. That is embarrassing.
She comes home, and that's when she eventually does get to speak with Julie. And I did love that Felicity says to Megan in this episode, if I'm not responsible for Julie leaving, then you're not responsible for what I did. I think that is so smart and exactly on point. I love that she's not trying to blame others. But I guess my question is, what Sarah, what's the fallout going to be with Ben in all of this?
It's not going to be good. Not going to be good. Do we actually think that she slept with Randy, or do you think that she just like passed out? I mean, we also get into the fact that, you know, that's like a little, that's very date rapey, and that is concerning as well, which I don't know if we're really getting into on this show. Like, we have before, so I don't know why we wouldn't, but I wish that, we had more clarity, but I guess we have to be left in the dark, kind of like Felicity.
Yeah, I don't know that we'll ever find out exactly what happened, because that would probably involve some sort of flashback sort of situation, because it doesn't seem like Felicity knows what happened, because she was super drunk.
Are we surprised that she didn't clarify that and be like, hey, like, what happened last night to Randy? Maybe it's something
I think it was
the future.
Yeah. I think she just maybe she'll run into Randy. Maybe that will be the thing. Mm-hmm. And he'll say like, oh, that was such a fun night, or, you know what I mean? Something like that. But I think Felicity was more like, I need to get out of here. Like, I got to go home right now. Mm-hmm. No, I think I'm going to say she made out with Randy, didn't have sex with him. And I think, gosh, I don't know how Ben finds out.
She has to tell him.
That's the thing. Is she going to tell him, or is he going to find out a different way?
I think she's going to tell him.
I think she might too. I think it'd be hard for her not to. I think she'd feel very, very guilty. But yeah, I don't know. This is really interesting. I think, was this one of my predictions? I'll have to go back and look. I'm pretty sure I had said that the reason that Ben and Felicity break up is because Felicity is the one that fucks it up. I feel like I said that in my predictions.
Maybe.
So that could be right. I just feel like it's about time that like Felicity did some like major fucking up and like has to figure things out. Because it's been too long.
Yeah, she's been very protected since season one. Like last season, she definitely was able to have a lot of the wins and like she had a lot of character development, but growing is not linear. I mean, we make mistakes throughout many, many a times. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's a tough situation. She was obviously going through it. She was blaming herself. She felt very, very guilty for Julie. And it seems as though she made a really like bad judgment call. But also, I'm just like very concerned that she's going to, she messed up something really, really good. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. It was an accident. Yeah. It wasn't like when Noel cheated on his significant others. Like, you know what I mean? No, that was very intentional from Noel.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, I think. And I did predict that Felicity. I predicted mid-season breakup and it's Felicity's fault.
Oh,
we were way earlier than mid-season. But yeah, I'm interested to see how this plays out. I think this is like a fun, not fun, but like an interesting development on the show. Mm-hmm. And I think it makes a lot of sense for Felicity to feel such guilt about Julie and just feel like so awful that she overindulges and makes a mistake and now has to live with the repercussions. So I'm excited to see where this is all going to lead to. That's Greeks and Geeks. Do we want to award a point to somebody before we get into feedback this week? I'm trying to think of who Megan. Oh, I know. Yeah, Megan, obviously. That's what I was going to say. Yep. Or Javier, because he's a citizen. Ooh. And he gets someone to vote.
Sure.
But Megan is sex positive. Can we give them both a point? Can we break our rules just for today?
I really couldn't care less.
It's been a tough week. Yeah. We're breaking the rules. Javier and Megan are both getting points. Okay, let's get into our feedback. We do have a voicemail from Temi, so let's hear what he has to say.
Hi, ladies. It's Tuesday morning, the day before the election when I'm recording this, so tell me everything. It's kind of appropriate that there was the Javier and Ben storyline with Javier encouraging Ben to vote. So that was kind of timely. But I really love the Noel storyline in this episode because of how he perseveres at the end and how Tracy backs him up, even though he created the problem for Noel. Tracy backs him up like a hype man.
Mm-hmm.
You thought you were going to give him the mind meld, but you can't because he's good. He's good! I also thought, you know, the computer guy, you know, he was talking about computers having souls and personalities. He gets his comeuppance at the end of the episode and he realizes he doesn't know everything. But what he's talking about with computers having souls and personalities, AI, you know, it's really improving in all domains. And there are books that have come out that talk about how there is going to be a mind meld between computers and humans. There already is in some ways when people have neurological injuries or neurological problems, medical problems that can be solved by computer brain interfaces. But the books are saying that eventually we're all going to have these computer brain interfaces. What are your thoughts about AI improving lives and the potential downsides?
Mm.
For me, I like this app, Suno. It's an AI app that can give you a few details and make a high quality song in less than a minute. So thanks. Bye.
So first and foremost, Jessica and I are self-proclaimed fuck morons. So what an intellectual conversation.
What a deep question, very philosophical question, Tammy.
For me, I do think that AI is a fascinating technology. I think that we should put money into it. I think that we should develop it. However, it freaking terrifies me because of I don't know, like deep fakes. I think that it's like really scary to like be, to think that you can look at an image and not know if it is true or false. I mean, like we used to have the saying, like, I'm not going to, once I see it, I'll believe it. And now you can't believe everything that you see. So I think it just adds to the complexity of like, doing your own research and like getting, educating yourself, because I think that there's just like, I don't know, I think it's getting more and more complicated. And yeah. I mean, I think for me, the funnest that I've had with AI has been ChatGPT, and forcing ChatGPT to create stories about things and characters and people that I care about. So that was a very good laughing moment for me and AI. That was a positive. I think that, but then also it's like people are like, hey, like write my entire paper, and it does. I, oh, you know what, I had ChatGPT too. You remember how like once upon a time when I had Netflix, everybody in New Jersey had my Netflix?
Yes.
I had ChatGPT create a breakup letter to all of my people.
That's hilarious.
Tell them that they can no longer use my Netflix. So it does do some good. It just scares me because especially of how influenceable everybody is in this day and age, it could create more harm than good. However, I do think that's a technology that we should put money and time and resources to.
I agree. It's one of those use responsibly sort of things, right? Like it sucks that it's taking money away from small artists and small businesses. But there is value in it as a tool. I use it in my day-to-day life and for work. I use it for fun things. I use ChatGPT for like Dungeons and Dragons, right? Like there's a lot of uses you can utilize with, there's a lot of uses for it. But when we get things like, you know, images that can't be verified whether or not they're real and utilizing people's faces without their approval, right? That's where we get, it gets a little scary. So I agree. I think it's one of those use responsibly things and also still support local artists and small businesses because they're the ones that are most affected by these things. But yeah, super complicated topic that I don't know that I have like a ton of answers for.
Continue to do your own research. I will say that before the new Taylor Swift album came out, somebody had created an AI version of the song Fortnite. And to this day, even though I got the real Fortnite, I oftentimes have the AI version of Fortnite stuck in my head.
That's hilarious.
It's not a real song. So, I don't know. I kind of wish it was, but it's not.
Okay. We also got an email from Jamie, who said, before I get into my thoughts on this particular episode, I want to start off by talking about my overall feelings on season 3 so far. I know that might be a little premature considering we're only four episodes in, but I'm finding season 3 to be incredibly jarring. It feels like a completely different show to me. The visual and writing quality of the show seems extremely cheap to me. The writing no longer feels character driven like it was in the first two seasons. Now it seems like they're just trying to give us these big shocking, oh my God moments, and it just is not working for me. I'm curious to hear how you ladies are feeling about season 3 and if the show feels different to you. So let's stop down there first. Sarah, does the show feel different at all for season 3 for you?
We definitely have the focus on the documentary and it's continuing on. I think it's going to be a through line throughout the season. I think that it's a little too early for me to fully say. However, it does feel like there are like big sweeping jumps. Like if the crystal meth is a good example. I did not expect there to be like a drug storyline, which obviously it's like high school or not. Sorry, it's college. So a drug storyline, even Dawson's Creek had a few drug storylines. But I don't think that I'm the alarm bells are going off quite yet, but I can see how it definitely has potential to veer off into crazy town.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference that I'm feeling in season three is the inclusion of the documentary, like video camera behind the scenes stuff in every episode versus it being like a special episode sort of thing, that feels like a way for us to get these like one-on-one confessional type things for individual characters to get more inside their heads. I think we've really stepped back from Felicity being our own one and only narrator, because we're not even really getting like the Dear Sally. We're not getting Sally at all. Mm-hmm. Recordings. And instead we're getting this peep behind the curtain into everyone's mindsets. So that feels different. I don't know that I would equate it to feeling cheap necessarily, more so different, I guess. And I'm not necessarily against it. And like you said, college, drugs, and alcohol feels like they go hand in hand, especially on a teen drama. So I don't know that I would call it, I don't know that I'm feeling that it feels cheap, but still early.
Do you think that Felicity should start talking to Sally again? Because apparently she's really fucking sucking at French. And wasn't Sally her French tutor?
She was her tutor. I don't remember if it was
French. I thought it was her French tutor. Apparently she needs Sally because this girl can't speak French for nothing.
But we hate Sally.
We hate Sally, but Felicity is really bad at French.
Yeah, that's true. She might need Sally.
She's like je ne sais pas all over the place. And we don't need to je ne sais pas.
We don't want a je ne sais pas at all.
No.
I don't know
what that means. Do you know what that means?
No, of course not.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay, great. Jamie continues. Now, on to my thoughts on this particular episode. I'll start with the good. I thought Felicity looked really pretty with her hair up. She should wear it up until it grows out.
I agree.
Jamie, I don't know. I feel like it looks dumb. I
firmly agree.
It looks dumb no matter what.
Don't agree with that. I think that when her hair is up, she looks very pretty.
I thought the scene with Felicity teasing Ben about his snoring was super cute. And I thought the scene of Sean doing a Ben imitation was hysterical. I agree with that. I loved that.
When he's talking about getting the rent. Head.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Now for the bad. Megan and Molly are the absolute worst for leaving Felicity alone at that party. And the drugs are totally Molly's.
Everything
was super boring. Well, that's what Jamie thinks.
Wow. Maybe.
See, I don't blame Megan. If Megan left Molly and Felicity behind, then I fully blame Molly.
I just think, I don't think that we need to blame anybody. I don't want to blame anybody. I just think that we need to enable the buddy system at all times.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Once again, if we blame people, we are becoming divisive. We don't want to divisive. We want to work together. It's an issue. Let's work together as a team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's hear what DBK has to say. He sent in a voicemail, and then I'm also going to read through a message he sent in on why he hates Julie. So let's listen to the voicemail first.
What up, though, ladies? So a bit of just like a kind of a silly episode, I guess. And it like kind of corresponds with the election, I guess. You got like a citizenship / voting thing with Ben. Javier inspiring him. That was pretty good, cute stuff there. Sean and Megan are fighting some more, but are happy, I guess. So I like that. I enjoyed Felicity going out with Molly and Megan. I thought that was pretty fun. Like, no, we're taking you out. Yeah, we get the Bindi this episode. We get Noel going for Geek Squad. He does not do that hand gesture. Yeah, just kind of like a silly episode. And then, Felicity ends up in Randy's bed. So we're going to have to see how this plays out. I'm sure when she tells Ben or when Ben finds out that he'll handle this great. Like a great boyfriend and is, you know, going to handle it super well, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's it for this week. I'm going to watch the game. Hopefully my team wins tonight. And then I'm going to pen my love letter to Julie for you. So that'll be coming a bit later. And then if my team loses, it'll just fuel the fire a bit. And they're probably going to lose tonight. So till next week, ladies. Peace.
I wonder if his team won or not. Oh, good. It's interesting. Yeah. I mean, we know Ben's going to have a terrible reaction to Felicity. Like, that's obvious. I mean, fair enough, right? Like, drinking isn't an excuse for bad behavior. So there's that. I don't know.
He's disgusting, absolutely revolting. He's going to ruin his chance at a beautiful, wonderful woman. And that's just going to let Noel sweep in. Noel's going to save the day, just like how he saved the computer.
Always. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me get through DBK's explanation on why he dislikes Julie. Let me count the ways I hate Julie Emmerich. First, Julie is quote unquote a nice girl, but we never rake her over the coals like we do Noel. Essentially, she always tries to be the nice girl with terrible results. Mm-hmm. Next, don't tell me you're my friend and then go after the love of my life, then get mad when I go after the same person once they're single. Also, it would be nice if Julie held Ben accountable for any of his actions. And why does she like Ben in the first place? Oh, yeah, because he's hot. But again, we would never say pretty guy want to kiss about. Wait, what? But we would never say he's pretty guy want to kiss about Julie. That's
yes.
It.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let's be mad at Felicity, but move in with Ben. Next, for the Julie hatred, let's totally take advantage of Sean and act like I have no idea that I'm doing that. Julie doesn't value her female friendships. See what she does to Felicity and Elena, but loves her guy friends. See Ben and Sean. I know it's a big decision in real life, but on the TV show, I totally blame Julie for not giving her kidney to her dad. In my headcanon, she lies to her birth mom so she can meet him over the summer. Otherwise, why would she let her meet the family? So that's shitty as well. But yeah, I hold my headcanon against her. Also, her terrible behavior with Ben before she leaves, does all that and doesn't even realize Ben gives no fucks about Julie. And she ditches her roommate, which is a jerk move. I'm sure there's more I could pick out, but let it be known, Julie Emmerich is 100 million percent the Xander of this show. Good God. Okay. I will leave you with this. You find me a person that says Julie Emmerich is their favorite character on Felicity, and I'll show you a fucking liar.
That's so good.
There is no way Julie is any way remotely even close to being Xander.
I don't know. I mean, she, all good points, DBK, for the most part, I think. I think that we are all, I don't know. I'll feel in a certain way about Julie. I just feel like, did we even know Julie?
Yeah. I didn't think Julie was that bad. I still don't think she's that bad. I think she's not nearly as bad as DBK makes her out to be. I can see some points about the like valuing male friendships over female friendships. Like I can understand that aspect of it. And her forgiving Ben quicker than she forgives Felicity, you know, whatever, I guess so. I don't think she's as malicious as DBK thinks she is. I still stand where I stand on the Sean stuff. But to each their own, and she's gone, so DBK can rejoice.
That is true. I mean, we still hear about her, but that is true.
I think we'll get a couple more episodes of Julie mentions, and that will be that. I don't think she'll be hanging around in perpetuity. But that was Greeks and Geeks. That was our feedback. If you want to send in feedback, you always can. shit90spod.com or shit90spod@gmail.com if you want to send in an email. We'd love to hear from you. Do you disagree? Do you love Julie? What are your thoughts on everything that's happened? What are your predictions if you're watching for the first time with us? Let us know. And of course, 5-star reviews are always greatly appreciated. It really helps out and counterbalances out people that are not so nice all the time. Okay. Next week, Sarah, season 3, episode 5. Would you like to hear the title?
Yes.
Surprise.
Surprise?
Who's being surprised? Is this a surprise party?
Oh my gosh. My dream.
I hope so.
All I want in this world is a surprise party. Nobody wants to surprise me. Why do you think that is? Why do you think nobody wants to surprise me? Do you think they hate me?
No, but
I feel like if someone threw you a surprise party, it would be only difficult because you have very specific like decor wants. Mm-hmm. And I think people would be afraid of fucking it up.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting point.
But that being said, I'm going to say, I think you would be so happy for a surprise party, no matter what it looked like.
Yes. Even if it's ugly.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's a hurdle of like, okay, what is the decor? Like she's going to want specific cutlery or like a specific, you know, color palette, a specific style. But I think you can kind of fix that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you can kind of fix that if you threw, like, what if you did, what if someone threw you a surprise, like, half birthday party? Because it fixes.
Oh.
One, your birthday is kind of like when it's cold and like gross outside. So like doing a half birthday allows it to be in the more summery months, which means you could have it outside, which means it could theoretically be a barbecue, which means I feel like there's less of a need for specific decor because the outside is kind of decor itself. You don't necessarily need to decorate an indoor space.
I like the way you think, Jess, and I love a half birthday.
There you go. Well, I'll cut this clip and specifically send it to Adam so that he knows.
No, he doesn't believe in half birthdays.
I know, but you do.
I do.
And that's part of being in a relationship is supporting your significant other's dumb stuff.
Yeah.
No. You go, yeah. No.
Not dumb.
Yeah. Okay, great. Anything else you want to? Oh, we said we were going to announce something, Sarah, at the end of the podcast.
We have an announcement.
We do.
What's our announcement? I already forgot.
So, in for bonus content in November this month, what we're going to be doing is we talked about this, I don't know, 2 months ago, whatever. It doesn't matter. Time doesn't matter. We're going to be doing something fun where I am going to be watching a movie. I'm going to come on the podcast. It is going to be a movie Sarah has not seen. Maybe one that I haven't seen, but I don't know yet. I'm still working on it. And I'm going to tell her about it. I'm going to present to her about it, about what this film was. And we will get her reactions on the podcast. We thought this was a great idea. We're going to implement it this month. So later in the month, that podcast will be dropping. If you have ideas for what I should talk about, what I should watch, definitely send them in. I'd love to hear them. I haven't made that decision yet. So we'll see. It should be a ton of fun. And there's some more fun announcements coming in the future. So we'll leave you with that. Yeah. Okay. Well, you can find us at Shit90s Pod. I'm at the Joe Sterling, Sarah at there at Sarah Ferguson. Recently, I'll just, you know, my plugs normally, but I'll give an extra little plug here because recently I guested on Whirlwind Investigations, which is over on Whirlwind Podcasts where they talk about Veronica Mars. It's my first watch. I've never seen it.
It's not out yet. It'll be out next Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah. We just recorded it, but it will be out.
Yes.
Friday. Yeah. It'll be out a week from last Friday. So this upcoming Friday, it will be released. So go check that out.
Thursday.
Go check that out. It was a ton of fun. I got to give all my theories on everything because I haven't seen beyond that episode that I was on for. And it was a ton of fun. So go check out that podcast. And thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with season 3, episode 5, Surprise. And until then, have a good one. Bye.
Just ask. Shit90s shows taught me.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.